Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Network. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Making Inspired Choices with Coach Linda Show. I'm your host, Linda Stevens-Jones, and it's a great pleasure to have you with me today. I'm a certified Christian life coach, and I host this show to provide some encouragement and thought-provoking conversation to help you move your life forward. So if that's what you're looking for, you're in the right place. Are you a first-time listener today? If so, welcome, and thanks for tuning in. This show is broadcast twice a month on the first and third Tuesdays at 12 noon Eastern, and I welcome you to what I call a community of encouragement and uplift. It's only an hour, but this is a place you can come twice every month to hear encouragement, inspiration, but also we give you a chance to share your thoughts and ideas at the end of the show. Know that you will be accepted in this community just as you are, without any judgment. Hello to everyone out there listening to this broadcast as a replay also. Those of you who take the time to listen after the live show, I appreciate it. Welcome, and I'm glad you're listening. I want to thank all of you who contacted me about the last broadcast and those who have shared your comments. It was a special show. We had two candidates for state office, Ms. Tilly Blanding, who was running for the House District 42nd Delegate, and Mr. Justin Fairfax, who was a candidate for the Democratic Lieutenant Governor of Virginia nominee. I'm extremely impressed by the campaigns both candidates ran. Tilly came so close. She lost by less than 600 votes for that House delegate seat in Virginia. And I'm thrilled that Justin Fairfax won and is indeed the Democratic nominee for Lieutenant Governor of Virginia. I'll just say, we could not have a better prepared or more committed nominee for the November election than Justin Fairfax. Next, I want to just say Happy Father's Day to all of the wonderful dads out there. I hope you felt some special love and appreciation this weekend for all that you do in support of your children all year long. You know, and I want to add, if you're a dad who's lost contact and relationship with your children, it's never too late to reach out and begin to show your love, no matter how much time has passed or what has happened in the past. Begin again today and just keep trying. And now for today's topic. We are talking about the dreaded P word that many of us struggle with at some point in our lives. Everyone relates to the P. That's procrastination. But fortunately today, it's not about just complaining or beating yourself up over being a procrastinator. We don't do that here. Our topic is overcoming procrastination. Big difference, right? We can slay procrastination. If you are one of us who struggle with or have suffered from procrastination, let's declare today the beginning of overcoming procrastination. Let's plan that we're going to get to a point where it holds us back no more. As you see, I'm including myself in this because I, too, deal with procrastination. But I want you to understand today what procrastination is, what it costs you, and I want you to walk away with specific tips on how to conquer it and replace it with action. As with everything else, in my take as a coach, you have to first recognize if something is a challenge for you. So just owning or acknowledging that maybe you suffer from procrastination is step one. So is there an area or many areas in your life where you kick the can down the road or put off unpleasant tasks? I know I do. All I'm asking today is that you are honest with yourself and see how the information presented by my guest applies to you. If it does, consider the tools discussed and try them. If you are open and willing to try some new ideas, just think. You could transform areas of your life where you've been stuck. I have a guest today who wrote the book on overcoming procrastination. Really. Let me introduce him right now. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest today is Mr. Eric Twiggs. Eric is a professional speaker who has delivered training and motivational speeches to help businesses and individuals realize their goals by unleashing their unlimited potential. He has shared this inspirational message for professional and personal success with companies, associations, and church congregations across the country. After graduating from Hampton University with a degree in marketing, Eric began his career in the automotive industry as a top-producing service advisor, quickly rising into management. Eric's successes resulted in him being promoted to district manager with responsibility for over $50 million in annual revenue and 500-plus employees. Eric's specialty is time management, and he is known as your procrastination prevention partner. His message will inspire you to maximize your time, minimize your stress, and break the habit of procrastination so that you operate in your divine calling. And as I said, he wrote the book. He is the author of The Discipline of Now, 12 Practical Principles to Overcome Procrastination. I am happy to say that I am enjoying reading Eric's book right now and using those practical principles. Good afternoon, Eric. Welcome to the Making Inspired Choices radio show. It is a
great
pleasure
to have you.
Thank you,
Coach Linda. I'm glad to be here.
Okay. Well, with this awesome book, our topic today is overcoming procrastination. And with your expertise, we will give some hope and even challenge some listeners to make the kind of choices that improve their lives. So are you ready to get started?
I am ready.
Okay. To let the audience learn a little more about you, tell us a little about your growing up years, Eric.
So, I mean, I had the typical growing up years. I was fortunate to have a two-parent home, so I got to model a lot of what I saw in my father. That's really where I got my work ethic. I just watched him get up every day. He went into the same building for 35 years and never took sick days. He always did what he was supposed to do. So that really kind of birthed in me a work ethic. But as I was growing up, I always thought that I had plenty of time. I always felt like, oh, I'm young, time is on my side. I had an experience once I got to college. I talk about this in the book, where I was talking to a really good friend of mine, one of my fraternity brothers, and he was always very focused and disciplined, and I was just looking for the next party, and we were having this conversation. He's telling me to get serious, and we parted company. Well, several weeks later, his mother called me to let me know that he was tragically killed in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And that just changed my entire outlook to this day as far as how I look at time. And I just have this urgency when it comes to doing what you can when you can, because mm-hmm. time is so short.
It is. It totally is. I agree with that. I always like to ask my guests to share a few of their core values because that tells us a lot about who you are. What are some of your core values?
Yes. So one of my main core values is excellence. And I think that's important because no matter what you do, you're in a crowded field, right? So if you're in mm-hmm. real estate, there's thousands of other people that call themselves real estate professionals. No matter what you do, there's a lot of people that do the same thing, even in this professional speaking industry. There's a lot of speakers. Mm-hmm. But to me, what separates an individual is his level of excellence. And I always mm-hmm. say that the best form of marketing, if you're in business, is to provide an excellent level of service. So that person
yes.
that you do business with feels compelled to refer you. So excellence is probably the critical core value, and it really ties back into not procrastinating and really doing the right thing when you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so
mm-hmm.
just a couple of others quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is integrity, really just doing what you say you're going to do when you're going to do it, and really that just builds the trust. And then lastly, it's resilience. When you have setbacks, because it's inevitable, you're going to have setbacks.
Yes.
Things aren't going to work out as planned. But the question is, how do you respond to that?
Yes. I appreciate those core values, Derek. And resilience isn't something that we sometimes think of as a core value. But when you value being able to bounce back, that serves you well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, tell us something. You just gave me a very condensed bio that I shared with the audience, but tell us something else about yourself that's not in your bio.
Well, I am an avid runner, and I've become more of a runner here recently, and I'm actually training for a marathon.
Ooh, okay.
It's one of those things. It's, you know, because we all face these things that we feel like are impossible. And one of the reasons I started training is because there were different things that may have come up, and I may have said, you can't do that. But this marathon journey has taught me that once you get past, like for me, for example, I always thought running 6 miles was a lot. And the first time I ran 6 miles, I literally, you know, we had to sit on the side of the road and was tired, but now mm-hmm. I can run 6 miles and not get tired. So that's one of the things that this whole journey has taught me.
I have always heard that, you know, there are some metaphors to becoming a runner that are applicable in life. And as you said, just having a sense of overcoming things you felt you can't do. When you go further in your run, it's just overcoming that sense of I can't do something.
Right, right. And it
yeah.
really just, it changes your mindset. And I mean, if you think about it, life in and of itself is really a marathon.
Yes,
it's not
is.
Necessarily about starting off fast and getting the best start. It's about, can you stay the course?
Staying the course, yes. I agree. Now, I told the audience, I'm reading your book. It was Father's Day on Sunday, and you shared something even before we get further into overcoming procrastination. But you shared something in the book that I was really touched by, that, you know, you had this real moment of clarity in understanding your why. Tell us about that, would you?
So, yeah, in the book I had talked about the birth of my daughter. On May 4th of 2010, that really puts things in perspective. Because I think prior to that, a lot of the things I was doing, I was doing for myself. And
mm-hmm.
but now that you have this little person in your life, it just, for me, it just changed, really changed everything, and it just gave me a new level of urgency that, you know, now
mm-hmm.
not only am I providing for someone, but I've got someone who's watching me.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. as a parent, one of the things I've observed, I've got two children now, that my mm-hmm. children do more of what they see from me than even what I tell them to do. They
yes.
they really, I think that really gets, to, I want to make sure that I'm setting the right example.
Yes. And did you have a lovely Father's Day weekend?
It was a great weekend. Yes, we just went out to a Father's Day brunch, and I got time to spend with my father and my wife's father and the kids. It was excellent.
Oh, that is lovely. That is lovely. Well, we are definitely this week just paying homage to dads and all that they do that may not be recognized right on the spot, but we just shout out to all the dads out there who are doing what it takes to raise responsible adults. Now, I
yes.
want to hop over. Yeah, I want to hop over right into your book. I think it is. I love that the name of it is The Discipline of Now and 12 Practical Principles to Overcome Procrastination. I've learned a lot by reading it and doing the exercises already. And to the audience, I think you would really find it helpful if you suffer from procrastination. Eric, what was your inspiration for this book?
So within my background, I've had over 28,000 coaching sessions that I've conducted with entrepreneurs, and then I've actually managed teams of 500 or more employees. I noticed through all of that, I noticed an interesting trend. I noticed how you could take two people, they could go to a conference, and they could get this great idea, and the one person doesn't do anything with it, but the other person acts on it, and it takes his game, it takes his business to a completely different level. You know, two people can get an idea about starting a business. One person acts on it. The other person got the same idea but doesn't do anything with it. And just from my observations, that one person has what I refer to as the discipline of now. So procrastination and all the things that cause it don't stop that individual from moving forward. And I think we all know people like that in our lives that are at the top. But when they hear that idea, they get that urge to move, they actually move without procrastinating. So I wanted to provide a tool that I could put in someone's hands to really help them to acquire that discipline, and that was really my inspiration for writing the book.
Okay. As I mentioned to the audience, I certainly deal with procrastination. Is it something that you deal with yourself?
Well, so as far as me and procrastination, all you need to know is that it took me 6 years to write a book about overcoming procrastination. So that should tell you everything that you need to know. But no, it's a challenge. It's certainly a challenge that I deal with. I believe I put some good tools in place that are even in the book to help overcome it. Like to this day I have to watch myself when it comes to some of those tasks that I don't tie to the bigger picture. It could be even something like filling out an expense report or tracking mileage. Type A personality is looking at the big vision. So some of those little administrative things I'll procrastinate on if I'm not aware and if I'm not careful.
Yeah. Yeah, I can appreciate that. Do you think procrastination is something that we all suffer from?
I think to one degree or another, I know there was a study here from the University of Calgary that said that 95% of the population that was surveyed admitted to having an issue with procrastination. And I always say
the
95% have an issue with procrastination. And I, Now I say the other 5% haven't gotten around to completing the survey yet.
Yes.
That's how serious of an issue it is. But no, I do believe that it's a prevalent issue. But it becomes a real challenge when you're procrastinating on those vital things, those things that you know, and we all have them, those things that you know you need to do to move yourself forward.
Yes. Yes. I agree. It's from the little what can feel like nitinoy things that you just say, I'll do it later, even all the way up to big life goals that you have just put off indefinitely. So I really wanted to have the audience understand, for those who are at a point where they know they suffer with procrastination, or for those who haven't owned it yet, why do people need to deal with procrastination? Why is that important?
Well, because procrastination has a hidden cost, and it's a silent killer, because a lot of times when you put something off, you delay, you're late, there's no big alarm that goes off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it lulls you into like this false sense of security, saying, oh, everything's fine. I mean, I got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
I made it. I waited till the last minute. Things seem to be okay. But we ignore those hidden costs. Like, for example, and I talk about this in the book. So if you're doing a creative project, even at work, if you're putting together like a big PowerPoint presentation for the company meeting, if you're writing a blog, there's this link between innovation and preparation. So the earlier you can start, the more preparation you put in, the more ideas, the more time your ideas have to develop. So the bottom line is that if you procrastinate and you wait till the last minute, your ideas aren't going to be as good. And the finished product isn't going to be as good as if you had started earlier. And you just never know how that affects you if you're up for a promotion or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That cost factor, I mean, that and, you know, and I want you to say a word about also the health variables of procrastinating, but that cost variable to my audience, I hope you will really just get engaged with the idea, for that reason, if nothing else, that you're not making less work for yourself or avoiding work. In fact, there may be some cost to you that you're overlooking when you procrastinate and just get things done right down at the ninth hour. You know, one thing I just want to point out, Eric, you talked in the book about, and I think this even plays right into when we procrastinate, we're not tuned into those deadline urgency is low and the creativity required is low. In those four quadrants that you talked about?
Yes.
I thought that was, I mean, I had an aha moment there of some of that is something that we need to just get off of our plates. Would you say a word or two about that?
Yeah, so basically, so in that matrix that you're referring to in the book, I just kind of drew up something just so that the reader can understand the relationship between starting early and, you know, having that level of creativity. And so one of the advantages, so the ideal part, you want to be at that place where you don't have the urgent deadline, because really if you have an urgent deadline, you're focused on just watching the clock, right? I got to get this done.
Right.
I got to get this done so I can move on to the next thing. But so when you start early enough, that your ideas have time to incubate. And one of the advantages I joked earlier about it took me 6 years to write this book, but there were a lot of really good ideas that came out over time that if I had just finished years ago, like some would argue I should have, that may not have come to the surface. There were life experiences that I went through that I was able to add to the book. So that's the big takeaway from that matrix is, you know, the earlier you start, the better your creativity levels are.
Yes, absolutely. I just I so relate to we sacrifice a lot by waiting until the very last minute. And then what about the health risk? Would you just say something about the health risk that you talked about?
Well, yeah, I mean, I shared a personal story where my wife was just urging me to, hey, Eric, you haven't been to your doctor's appointment. You haven't, you know, I was supposed to have had an eye appointment. And finally, mm-hmm. at the insistence of my wife, I went, and it turns out I had a detached retina. And if I had waited any longer, it could have really done serious damage to my vision. I would have had to have a special surgical procedure. But I mean, it's probably not luck. It's more I was blessed to have my wife bringing that to my attention. But no, there's serious. I mean, we all know people that have passed away or been seriously ill when it could have been avoided if it was detected earlier.
Yes.
And I just, yes. I know one thing for the men listening. I think we tend to be bad with going to the doctor.
Yep.
And I think it's very, from a procrastination standpoint, I mean, this can have life and death implications.
So true. So true. You have a concrete example of what happened to you. So listeners out there, if you would just note, underline, we need to tackle procrastination because in some cases our very health may be at risk.
Yeah.
I particularly like in your chapters that you have a stop, read, and act segment at the end of each segment or at the end of each chapter. I know because this is about procrastination, you want readers to take action immediately. Talk about that for a moment. What made you decide to put that at each chapter?
Well, I wanted to make it interactive, and I wanted to make it not your typical time management book or your typical book. A lot of these books, you get great ideas, but it's very easy to forget. So I just really want to interrupt the reader's procrastination and say, stop right now. Let's apply this idea. Let's do the exercise. And if you notice in the book, if you've gotten that far yet, there's a specific point where I say, I don't give you permission to continue yet. You have to go back and do the exercise. But I just wanted to my whole point for doing that was to make it something that's interactive. And to make it, because you're more, the way I did it, the goal is that you're more likely to take the action and ultimately improve your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been doing those exercises, I must say, and have really enjoyed them. On vision, I got some really new, an infusion of new ideas on how to make my vision even clearer. So that was great. So what are a few simple steps that listeners can take today to begin combating procrastination?
Well, the first simple step is to really watch your mindset and watch your attitude and be careful with how you self-identify. And you know, I work with and come in contact with a lot of people that say, oh, Eric, I'm just such a procrastinator. I've always been a procrastinator. Procrastination is what I do. Yet we have to be careful with that and really make sure that we embrace a growth mindset to know that, hey, I may have procrastinated yesterday, but that doesn't define me. As a matter of fact, yesterday ended last night, so I can wake up today and do something different and move forward in a better direction. But that's one of the things that I see that holds people back, that you self-identify as a procrastinator and think that that's just how you are, that's just how you're wired, and that's not the case. You can improve, and certainly by taking some of the steps I mentioned in the book, you can move forward. The other thing is very basic, but I would say if you want to stop procrastinating, a good step to take would be to get rid of all of the email and social media alerts on your phone or on your desktop computer. I'm telling you, this could be life-changing. Get rid of all of those chimes and alerts that tend to distract you. There's something that's called the principle of random rewards. So what happens is we actually get like a dopamine rush in our brain when we start getting that good feeling whenever we get like a new email or the new text message or the, see the next Facebook post. It's that random reward. So, and that can really distract us. So a lot of times when we have a project, I'll bing, hey, here's something, here's a new alert on my phone. Let me do that instead of doing the project. So a good key step is get rid of all of those alerts. You'll get a lot much done. You'll get much more done and be more productive.
Wonderful, wonderful to hear. Well, I'm happy to say mine are all silent. I don't want to hear all those dings and bings. But that is a great strategy to just stop all of those, and that eliminates distraction.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to just inject here. I want to ask some more about overcoming procrastination, but I always like to have my audience have an opportunity to hear about a guest life challenges or trials that they've worked through. This show is definitely faith-based, and I like to have my guests talk about how they have used their faith to get through some daunting challenge in their life. Is there a time that you have faced just a particular uphill battle and you were particularly challenged that you could tell us about today and how you persevered?
Yes. There was a time in my life, this was about 20 years ago, and I was managing a store location for an automotive company. And I had interviewed a month prior, I had interviewed for this position that I really wanted within the company. It was a corporate training position, and because I really had this passion for public speaking. And during this time in the store, for this month, for whatever reason, for this 1 month, any and everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong. I mean, customer complaints, the results, the financial results started going south. Just any and everything that could go wrong was starting to go wrong. And I hadn't heard anything on this position that I'd interviewed for. And I was literally on the verge of giving up. I remember having a conversation with my father saying, you know, Dad, I'm just going to update my resume, and I need to quit and just find something else. This isn't worth it. And he gave me the guidance that, you know, you never know what's going to happen with this other position. That would be a bad decision, so forth and so on. But I was really on the verge of giving up. And within a week and a half of that conversation I had with my father, I got a call about this position.
Huh.
And so what that taught, and I carry that experience with me today, and what that taught me is that you just never know what the next day is going to bring. I just believe that there's someone that's listening to me right now that's one phone call away from having that positive change they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
That one promotion, that one big account, that one call, you just never know how close you are to getting to that next level. And that's really what that experience has taught me, and it's really helped my faith as I've been through other challenges since then.
Awesome. So you held on a little longer.
Right, exactly. And I just noticed that whenever you're close to something big, that's usually when things start going wrong.
Isn't that
so true? I've learned to embrace that as confirmation that I'm on the right track.
On the right track. I can relate to that. I can relate. Well, as you look back, though, I mean, it's quite in the rearview mirror, but what would you say led to the decision to hold on that you ultimately made?
Well, I think I can go back to my faith as well.
Okay.
I'm a man of faith. I'm a deacon in my church, and I think my faith and just staying in prayer, that really helped. And it's funny, during those times, it's like I would read these, I would just open the Bible up, and these scriptures that seemed like they related, like they were talking right to me would pop up. And today, I don't think that was coincidence.
Yeah.
So that foundation of faith is really what helped me to get through.
Amen. Amen. I relate to what you said tremendously in that, you know, for some of us, at the onset of the challenges, we feel the voices in our heads say, just walk away, just give up. Oh, this is never going to work out. And I bet some of our listeners can relate to that. But audience, to have faith to turn to in those challenging times when, as Eric described, when things start going downhill or it seems that everything starts to work negatively, having faith that you can stand and that you can keep holding on to what you believe in, what you've worked hard for, because sometimes the breakthrough is just for you to persevere a little longer. Or sometimes the breakthrough happens when you persevere in faith a little longer. So thank you for that, Eric. That is something I think that we've all experienced. You shared some, you know, great insights already. I'm going to ask you some more questions, but I'm going to open up the phone lines right now and see if we have any callers who want to get in on this conversation. Audience, I think there's so much that, you know, if you give it some thought, just sit down, carve out a little time, sit down and think about your own lives and where procrastination is holding you back, where it is costing you, keeping you from even from some opportunities. I think there's so much that you can make some shifts to have a really positive impact in your everyday life. So I want to hear what's on your mind. Do you struggle with procrastination? Do you have difficulty even thinking about procrastination? Just let us know what you're thinking about. Some of us do. I'm raising my hand. I am one. And, again, I'm already finding Eric's book very helpful in what I call slaying procrastination. So give us a call. Let us know what your thoughts and questions are. To join us, call 1-646-716-9397. The number again is 1-646-716-9397. We'd love to hear from you. As we wait for callers, Eric, give me some idea of how your book is. You've said some about it in terms of you wanted it to be interactive. I'm sure you have perused or have some idea about the other books out there on procrastination. So how is your book different?
So most of the books that I've come across, they provide these one-size-fits-all answers to the time management procrastination challenges. Like they'll say things like, oh, you know, you have to wake up early, you have to be an early bird, don't check email before noon, those types of things. And, you know, and then I've even come across procrastination books that are like 400 pages long. So a person that's a procrastinator is probably not going to get through. Or so someone that's got an issue with procrastination is not going to get through it all. So I designed my book specifically to have tools where the reader can find practical solutions based off of where they are. So there's a section in the book where I talk about the different personality types, and I give procrastination solutions based off of your specific personality types. I give solutions based off of if you're genetically speaking an early bird or a night owl. There's different solutions to overcoming procrastination. So I think that's really what separates my book from the others that are out there.
Absolutely. You know, I would love for you to talk a little bit about, I love this section, about learning how to say no. You know, our plates get so full because we don't say no to things. Would you talk some about that?
Yes, I mean, that's a critical thing. And a lot of times we end up stressed out because we've got so much on our plate. And I think mm-hmm. that's very critical that we learn to say no. One of the things I think is to look at, it's a concept that's called zero-based thinking. So taking a look at the things that you're involved in now and asking mm-hmm. the question, okay, knowing what you know today, would you have said yes to this? Because we all get the things that seem like a good idea at the time. But now mm-hmm. with more knowledge, we say, you know, maybe this isn't. And then if the answer is no, then the next question is how fast can you get out of it? Or what do you need to do to get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, so the more you say yes, the more you'll have stress. So it's very important that the things that we commit to or say yes to are things that line up with our passions, things mm-hmm. that line up with our priorities, and
yes.
quite honestly, things that line up with our personal abilities. I mean,
mm-hmm.
so those are all things we need to consider.
That is important. That is really important. And, you know, it sets you to be in a proactive mindset when you filter the requests that come to you.
Yeah.
When you filter those requests through a lens of if it lines up with your passions, you know, with your abilities. And even when it lines up with your abilities, you have to assess how full your plate is already, right?
Right. Right. So because when you say yes to something,
mm-hmm.
by default you're saying no to something else, right? So, but
say
a lot
that
of times
again,
we don't look.
Please.
When you say yes to something, especially if it's something like, so if you say yes to a request, let's say that doesn't line up with your priorities, by
mm-hmm.
default you're saying no to something that may line up with your priorities.
Yes.
Because you may not, you're not going to be available. You're tied up in this
right.
other thing that you've committed yourself to.
Exactly. Audience, that to me is worth the price of the book. When you think about, you know, and Eric, you have a list in here, which I'm just going to read real quickly because I thought they were just so spot on. Audience, Eric's book has top 10 reasons we don't say no. And I want you to hear these reasons and think of how many times you've used them. And remember what he said, when we are saying yes to certain things, we're saying no to things that really may be our passions, our priorities, and things that, you know, really line up with our abilities. So here are top 10 reasons we don't say no. It will hurt someone's feelings. I should never pass on an opportunity. This will lead to something bigger. Fourth is, I got this. And he says, no, you really don't. Number five is, one more thing can't hurt. Number six is, if I don't do it, who will? You know, and I'm just caveating here. That's like the different organizations you belong to that ask you to take leadership roles or that ask you to volunteer to take on certain initiatives or do fundraising and that kind of thing. And we say to ourselves, well, if I say no, who's going to do it? And again, these may be things that you're saying yes to that will prevent you from being available for some of the things that matter more to you.
Yes.
This is a great honor to be asked. Number eight, if I say no, they will never ask me again. Oh, but they will. I just forget that. Number nine, I can find someone to help me. And then number 10, this won't impact my workload. Really? Audience, do you relate to some of those going through your own minds when people have asked you to do something or just put you right on the spot and asked you? You find yourself kind of thinking through some of those. If I don't do it, who will? And it's an honor to be asked. So I really like that that listing, Eric. Let me give out the phone number again in case we have anyone who wants to get in on our conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait until the last minute to call us. The number is 1-646-716-9397. That's 1-646-716-9397. We'd love to hear from you. Eric, who could, I mean, I have an idea, but who could benefit by reading this book? Or who do you want to read this book?
Well, I believe that the book is designed for that individual with the entrepreneurial mindset who's looking to go from good to great. So, and it's more about a mindset when I refer to entrepreneurial. You may have your own company. You can be an entrepreneur within a company. It's about really taking control of your career and your future and not sitting back depending on someone else to make things better for you. You know, I heard a saying that, you know, there isn't going to be someone that's going to show up in a limousine that's going to make all your dreams come true automatically. With the times we live in, you really have to take control of your career. You have to get clear on your vision. And that's why overcoming procrastination is more critical in today's time than ever. So it's designed for that type of individual who's looking to go from good to great.
All right. Awesome. You know, and I think in all of us, whether we get it to the surface or not, all of us would like to live up to our true potential. All of us would like to go from good to great. Whether we're willing to put in the work is the question. Audience, are any of you out there relating to that idea of we need to have, even within careers, an entrepreneurial mindset and like the willingness and desire to take control of our work life and our lives so that we reach to, or we're seeking and trying to reach our true potential. Eric, tell us, what are you enjoying most about this season in your life?
Well, I have to tell you, it's being a father. We talked about it earlier, and having a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I became a father old, you know, at a much more older age than some of my peers. But I think there was purpose behind that because I'm able to apply some of the principles that I talk about. Like one of the things that's helping me now is just kind of understanding balance. So when I was younger, my tendency was to just work all the time and just be gone all the time, where now at some point I'm just going to cut things off because I have a family. You know, I'm going to do the best I can with the time I have, but that motivates me to make the most of the time I have so that things don't bleed over to when I'm at home, into my family time. But this is a great time. Just really being able to spend time with the two kids and my wife and the things they say. So that this is really a great season.
Beautiful. Well, it sounds like your awareness is really high still today on how precious time is. And, you know, there's not an unlimited. Well, I used to say in one of my jobs, when we work 24/7 or around the clock, we're not putting family time and time with loved ones in a bucket that we can go and get back, or like in a bank account. And when we're ready for it, we can go and take it out. That time is gone.
Right. And it's then one other thing I want to add to that, too. So a lot of times I think what we don't realize is that the time we waste in the office is actually time we're taking away from our family. So if we should be working on a project and we're wasting time at the water cooler or doing something that's not productive, we're surfing the internet or what have you, that's time you're taking away. Because a lot of times you have to take that work home to get it done.
Yeah.
So there's a cost there too.
So true. That's something worth considering. You know, it makes me think of one thing that I want to throw out here is we so often, I find in my coaching, I find in my own life, we so often get in an autopilot mode, you know, where we're not really intentionally and consciously deciding anything. We are just automatic, rote, default, you know, what time we go to work every day, and however much time you're there, you're going to fill it up with things to do, even the time we waste. But what if we really, you know, had this conscious awareness of, you know, I've got 24 hours in a day and I want to get my priorities done. I want to have, you know, my family time. I want to complete projects. Just a shift in the approach. What do you think about that?
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think so, because even in the book, I go through this procrastination prevention pyramid, and it goes through the different steps. And mm-hmm. when you get to the top, it talks about taking action. So one of those things, as far as taking action, is kind of waking up with an agenda and being clear mm-hmm. on the key things that you want to accomplish. And I think that helps to get you off of that autopilot. Because you're right. It's so easy just to kind of go through the motions and be on mm-hmm. the autopilot without an awareness of what your real priorities are and what you need to be getting done.
Absolutely. We have a caller on the line, my favorite caller, I always say. Caller at 703-887. Press 1 and you're on live with us.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Twiggs, so glad to have you on the air today. I have a question. Have you looked at procrastination across cultural or international lines? And if so, have you seen anything unique, you know, in that look?
Question.
Yeah, that's a great question. Haven't really dug into it too deeply on that level. I mean, one thing I've noticed, I just think, like here, there's just so mm-hmm. many more distractions that we
right.
have built in. So I think
yeah.
it's a bigger problem here than some other parts of the world, just because, I mean, all the different distractions with social media
mm-hmm.
and the media cycle, there's so many things to, because a big cause of procrastination is this impulsivity. And I talk about this in
mm-hmm.
the book. And so I think the more distractions you have, the more you'll tend to procrastinate.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I really haven't dug into a lot of other countries, but some of the countries
mm-hmm.
that have kind of a simpler lifestyle or don't
mm-hmm.
have the level of distractions that we're facing
yeah.
wouldn't be as prone to some of the issues that we're seeing.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as I picked up the book and looked at it. And I remember, you know, having spent some time, some years in Europe,
mm-hmm.
things seemed to be, you know, the years I was there anyway, they seemed to be, you know, a lot less congested for
mm-hmm.
people there
mm-hmm.
and, you know, not as fast. And when I came back here, you know, like you said, there's that next thing, to interrupt you, that next thing that comes to mind from, you know, people, TV or in the news and so forth. So, but
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know if you had any thoughts on that, and I appreciate your answer very much. Thank you for being on the show today.
Hey, thank you for your question.
Sure.
Thank
Goodbye.
You. Bye-bye. That's my husband, audience, and Eric, when I say my favorite caller. I always appreciate him calling in. One question I'd like to ask, I like to ask most of my guests, moving forward, you know, it sounds like you are certainly seeing your vision, your dreams come to fruition. The impact of this book, you know, the fact that you will, if not absolutely directly, but you will have planted seeds in people across this country and across the world to be able to end their procrastination habits and be able to hopefully grow into more of what they want in their lives, get more of the priorities that they have done. So given where you are as you look forward, what do you feel the Holy Spirit nudging you toward?
So here's what I feel. I feel like this tremendous level of urgency to get the message out about the book. Like, I feel this urgency not to sit on the message, but to really get the message in people's hands. And it's not like a salesy urgency. It's really the message needs to go forth. You know, I have speaking counterparts in various associations. They say, oh, you know, I'm writing this book so that I can have something to offer people in the back of the room after I'm finished speaking. This isn't that type of book for me. This is a book that I really want. I just feel this urge and this urgency to get into people's hands, and hopefully they'll be blessed by the message and they'll move forward and make the changes they need to make.
Absolutely. It sounds like more of a service urgency.
Yes.
In terms of the potential impact that it can have. I certainly feel that, and I appreciate greatly what you've put into, as you said, they're practical tools, they're practical principles that you can use. And audience, it's a short read. It's not 400 pages, so I encourage you to pick up this book, The Discipline of Now, 12 Practical Principles to Overcome Procrastination, by my guest, Eric M. Twiggs. What would you say you are most looking forward to? Let me say, aside from getting the book into people's hands, what are you most looking forward to during the rest of 2017?
Well, just seeing the thing that's very rewarding for me when people tell me that they've applied something specific and it made a certain change. That is like the most rewarding feeling that I get, knowing that I was able to help and make a difference at the end of the day. So that's really what I'm looking towards for the rest of this year, that the book is having an impact and it's helping someone to achieve the goals and the dreams that they've got for themselves.
Absolutely. I totally relate to that as a coach. That is a most rewarding feeling. Well, I'm one who can say it to you because I certainly did when you said stop and take the action now. I've been practicing that. Yeah, I didn't think of it in terms of being interactive, but I appreciate that more. Where can people get in touch with you, Eric? Would you share that with our audience?
Yes. So my website is www.ericmtwiggs.com, and you can access the book by visiting that website. It's actually ericmtwiggs.com/ The Discipline of Now, and you can access your copy, and I'll even sign it for you and send it to you. Also, there's a special. If you email me at ericmtwiggs.com, I will also, and let me know that you've purchased the book, I will also send you a free copy of my other ebook. It's called One Moment in Time, Preparing Your Life for Your Defining Moment. So you're getting two tools for the price of one. As a special, if you
fantastic.
Say, hey, I heard you on Coach Linda's show.
Oh, fantastic. So audience, did you get that email? Eric, would you give it to us again, please?
Yes. So my email address is Eric, E-R-I-C, at ericmtwiggs, T-W-I-G-G-S, .com.
Fantastic. So audience, you have an opportunity to get more of Eric's wisdom and impact by emailing him after the show. It is a conversation that I tremendously enjoy because I deal with procrastination. And while others did not call in, I know that this message resonates with many of us. I heard from people before the show saying, I really need this information, and this is one of my struggles. So I certainly pray that everyone out there who has heard the message today, if you receive that link from me, you can pass that link on so others can hear it on replay. So that will even be your random act of kindness to your network by sharing the link for the show. Eric, I thank you so much for being my guest today. And I'm certain that what you've shared is going to just be an inspiration. And I know that you've planted some seeds for people to look at themselves. And I pray it will result in someone out there making inspired choices in their lives.
Yes, it's been my pleasure. And thank you, Coach Linda, for having me on your show today.
Thank you. Let me ask, do you have any shout-outs that you want to give out before I close the show?
Yes, I'd like to give a special shout-out to the brothers of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, especially those from the Psi Alpha Alpha chapter and those from the Gamma Epsilon chapter. Shout-out to you.
All right. thank you so much, Eric. I want to give a shout out of appreciation to all of the dads out there, especially to my father and to my husband. And I want to also give a shout out to every procrastinator out there who is committed to taking some steps to slay procrastination in your life. I'm rooting for you. I know that we both can do it. Ladies out there, my specialty is coaching women facing change or transitions in their lives and getting them to take constructive action that allows them to live more fully. If you or someone you know is struggling with life changes, but you need some help to move forward, let coaching help you to gain clarity and confidence and move toward the fulfillment that you're looking for. There's no better time than now to get started. Go to my website, www.lindastevensjones.com. That's Stevens with a PH, lindastevensjones.com. There you can get information and schedule a discovery session with me. Thank you, audience, for being with me today. As always, I want to just point out we will not have a show on the first Tuesday in July, as usual, because it's Independence Day, and I want you to enjoy a fun and safe celebration that day. Right now, I'd love for you to mark your calendars to join me for the next show on the third Tuesday in July, right here at 12 noon, when my guest will be author Joanne Latimer and her daughter, Janice Pinkney, who heads the Ophelia Foundation. Thank you again for being with us today. Let's slay procrastination. Until next time, stay blessed.